Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're spending a little bit of time with each of our texts this day, as all is framed by the wonderful words, "I have called you by name, you are mine." Being called by name, most of the time that's a really great thing. When your mom hollers out the kitchen door and says, "Supper's ready, come," that's good. But sometimes it's a bad thing. You just wait till your father gets home. When you get older, go to the principal's office now, or you will stay after school. Although my personal favorite as an adult, "Philip, we need to talk." When your spouse says that to you, you can see the freight train of trouble coming. But when we hear our Father call us by name, it's a very good thing. Why is that such a great thing? Because we've been baptized. Not baptized like the people in John's day, just for repentance, a greater baptism. A baptism into something special. A baptism into Christ. Probably thinking, okay, so what's this really mean? Now think about it. When your mom would call you by all three names, you knew you're in trouble. When I heard James Amos Mosier, "Get over here," I knew I was in deep trouble. And guess what? You're not called by three names anymore. You're called by four. Christian. You've all taken on a totally new name and a new identity and a new creation. Simple water and word poured upon you. Now this all starts clear back to Jesus' baptism. Jesus is not a sinner. Jesus needs not to be baptized by John. John protests, we hear in the other gospel narrative, "Hey, I should be baptized by you." All righteousness. He consents. And then the Trinity appears. "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." Why? Why is the Father so happy with him? It's only really the beginning of his public ministry. Why is he so happy with him? Because Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, is working and doing all things for the sake of mankind. Starting in that River Jordan. Oh, wait, it started even before that. His circumcision. When Jesus, just a few weeks ago when we celebrated, why was it important? He shed blood. God in the flesh shed blood for you and for me. For the first time, he shed blood to put himself under the law, under his own law, to start living it, walking it, talking it, being it, all for us, because we cannot. As much as we would love to look in the mirror and say, "Boy, I'm really great," we're not. Sorry to disappoint you. I know some of you looked in the mirror and thought, "Boy, I look pretty good today." But we all sin. We've all sinned, even this morning. We've all sinned, probably even sitting here going, "What is this guy from out west going to say? Does he really know what he's doing?" We're all. And we all fall short. And why is that connecting for us? Because Satan loves to push you away from the name by which God calls you. Satan wants you to remember the other fourth name that you have. Sinner. He doesn't want you to remember that you're a Christian, that you are redeemed in the waters of baptism, redeemed into Christ and participate in him right here as you take his meal. He doesn't want you to think about that. He wants you stuck back where he calls you by all three names and starts telling you your sins, starts pricking your conscience to make you remember all the things you did so that he can say, "You just wait till your father gets here. He'll judge you," but he won't. Because the Father will look at you and he won't see you as sinner. He will see you as a confessed Christian who has come and confessed the very sins that Satan has complained about and absolved them. You just had that gift a few moments ago. Forgive your sins in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what does that sound like? It sounds like your invocation of your baptismal grace in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptism is where we live. Jesus' baptism was a little different. But what he gives to us in that is truly incredible. Paul talks about living it today in our epistle reading. Because you have been redeemed, what do you seek to do? You can look now at God's law and not see it as a whip and a cord and a club to beat you into submission, but you can look at it as the beautiful thing that it should be. Just as David sang in the great psalm, Lord, I love your Torah, your law, your full counsel. Because now we can look at the law and we can see, yeah, I have failed this miserably. But Jesus takes that mirror out of our hands. He says, but I've forgiven you of those. We can look at that law now as a curve so we know how far we can go. And it's a guide to guide us always back to remembering our baptismal grace, our new name, our new identity, and our new life. It's very appropriate. Today, Philip and Catherine renewed their vows. Catherine took a new name when they got married. All of us who have gotten married, their spouse has taken a new name. Baptism is like this. We, the bride of Christ, have taken his name. Now we are awaiting the great full completion of our marriage at the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. We get a preview of it here. We get to taste and see that our Lord is truly indeed good. And he truly and completely comes to us as we participate in that living body of Christ, living blood of Christ. And why? Because it strengthens us, it grows us, and encourages us to be who we are as God's people, Christians. So when Satan says to us and to our ears, you wait till your father gets here. We can smile and say, yes. When? When will he be here? Come, Lord. Come soon. Because we are no longer judged by Satan's standard. We are judged by God's standard. And all that is remembering who we are as God's people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. And now, the peace of God which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.
Amen.
We join together now.